I was thinking about one of Michelle's favorite songs. Which song do you think it was, love? Christmas.
Favorite song?
One of your favorite Christmas tunes.
Are you being sarcastic?
No, I wasn't being sarcastic. Am I so sarcastic? That's your immediate reaction? Well, you like that one. But that's probably more my favorite song, even though you enjoy it.
Mary, did you know?
Mary, did you know? See, she knows you better than you know you. What's up with that?
Well, I made an inference there because your sermon was about Mary.
Okay, yeah. And well, you were paying attention earlier is what you were saying.
I forgot about it.
I love that song.
I love that pentatonic song.
Actually, I don't like pentatonic.
Oh, you don't?
Well, either way, I was thinking about it as an inspiration for a sermon. But I already re-preached a sermon here one time called Baby Jesus, Did You Know? Again, not saying it's worth, I'd say this much. It's not worth re-preaching again. However, I've never actually taken the time to talk about what Mary did and didn't know. And it was something that I touched on in Antrim in a sermon called Pondering with Mary. I don't know if you remember it. Pondering with Mary. This will be a modified version. Kids, you'll be glad I cut out some to make it a little shorter. I didn't realize it was so long back there. You see, I don't torture you guys as badly. And it seems apropos given Mary's, Lily, you talked about a Christmas sermon. At Christmas time, a sermon about Mary seems a bit apropos, huh? She's pretty important to the nativity story. Now, as parents, I think we all have moments where our child makes us really proud, where a youngster's act or accomplishment confirms the thing that every other parent should realize, that our kid is absolutely the greatest, not theirs. Right? We've been blessed with four awesome children, including what's less a surprise now 11 years later, but a surprise, Augie. Now, every Saturday morning, usually around 8:39, Augie and I used to head to a local Burger King. Where was it, Augie? Do you remember?
Centennial.
With that ever-so-important play area. And we'd have breakfast. If you've ever had Burger King hash browns smothered in ketchup, you'll understand why. Mm-hmm. We prefer, exactly. Carl's Jr. is okay, but Burger King is generally better. After we were done eating, more often than not, he'd head into the play area. Augie especially enjoyed this time if there were other kids. Needless to say, I was a little too big to join him. I just got to sit there, and it was probably a little cold. You remember that? A little cold. Well, as a six-year-old, which is how many years ago, Augie?
Five.
5 years ago, exactly. He was playing with a girl, couple years junior to him, when another child, and I don't remember the kid's name, but it might have been Dan, came into the room and raced over to the play area. The boy's dad quickly spoke up and said, what are you supposed to do before you go in the play area?
Take shoes off.
Take shoes off, right. He said, Dan, aren't you going to take your shoes off first? Next thing I hear Augie, six-year-old Augie, say to this little girl, we should wait for Dan. Followed by him turning toward the shoe rack and saying, Dan, we'll wait for you. After which they sat down and guess what they did? They waited for Dan. They waited for Dan. You could say that I treasured up Augie's words and actions and that I pondered them in my heart.
I don't remember actually doing that, but okay.
You don't? Well, you did. Wouldn't you? I mean, as a parent, what have your kids done where you were both similarly proud and amazed by it? It's not that it was unexpected, but that still is really kind, right? He's having fun. He says, let's wait. When I first wrote this, I said, I will be telling a story about Augie the rest of my life. Well, if I hadn't re-preached it, I had forgotten it too, Augie. But this is a good story because I think it shows a heart. Don't lose that heart, kid. And considering the way my memory is going, you guys might hear about it more and more. Okay. Now, with Mary, for some reason, two specific verses stand out most to me. When I think about Mary in Scripture, two verses stand out most to me. So much that, to be honest, I thought the Bible had a lot more occurrences like these. But there were only two. Here they are. Let's look at the first one together. It is part of the nativity story. Luke 2:8-19. Luke 2:8-19. And I apologize ahead of time. Since I forgot my glasses, I will probably trip on my tongue. Luke 2:8-19. Then I'll leave them in the car. I just have to get used to having glasses. See, the part of the problem is I don't need to wear them all the time. Like when I'm driving, they're not made for driving. So I have to remember to take them in Luke 2:8-19. Are we there? And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning the child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. What's the next verse say? But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. Now, a little bit later, let's go down to verse 41, and we're going to read from 41 to 51. 41 to 51. This is not part of the nativity story. Jesus is a bit older. How old is he? Does anybody know?
2018 years.
No. 12. 12. Close.
12.
No. This is the stories when he was 12. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it. But supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. But then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem searching for him. After 3 days, could you imagine this, Mom? How would you feel? After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother, what?
Treasured up.
Right, treasured up all these things in her heart. Treasured up all these things in her heart. So we've heard two long sets of verses. I thought about reducing it, but I thought it was important for the story. First one had this in it: Mary treasured up these things, pondering them in her heart. And the second one said, and his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And now you guys know why that I shared the story about Augie and Burger King. With the first incident, where the shepherds were telling quite a tale, wasn't it? Could you imagine your Mary? Shepherds show up and tell you that these angels just came and said this, that, and the other. You can fully understand how astonished she must have been. maybe what Gabriel told her beforehand, before she became pregnant with the Son of God, if you look at Luke 1, 26 through 38, you can find it, may have tempered it a bit. But regardless, you can see Mary, likely exhausted from travel and the birth, looking into the eyes of her babe in a manger and contemplating the shepherd's incredible words. Hey, guys. And contemplating the shepherd's incredible words, no wonder Mary treasured up these things, pondering them in her heart. Hey, how are you?
Good.
Good to see you. And feel free to get situated, grab water, grab donuts. It's okay. However, in that case, Jesus had done nothing but arrive. Does that make sense? He's just a baby. He hadn't done anything. So we have to consider the words and actions of a 12-year-old Jesus to find an occasion closer to the nature of my story about Augie. So what we're talking about, just to catch you up, is that I talked about a story where Augie was a little kid. He's in the play area in Burger King. You know, the place that you can't fit anymore, Cisco. If there's any consolation, neither can I. And he was playing with this little girl, and this little boy comes in and goes to run to play, and his dad says, hey, Dan, shouldn't you take your shoes off first? And suddenly I hear Augie, as a six-year-old, say, we should wait for Dan. And then yell down to Dan and say, hey, Dan, we'll wait for you. And then he and the little girl sat and waited for Dan. And, you know, here I am, proud dad, thinking about it. Has Cisco ever done anything that you did that with, or has he just been horrible his whole life?
I'm sure
yeah, exactly. The second one. But the thing is, so what I was talking about is we quoted a couple times in the story, well, in stories that involve Mary, where it said one time it talked about how she treasured it up in her heart and pondered, and that was when the shepherds came in and told her what the angels had told him and stuff. And the second time was when he was up in Jerusalem and he stayed behind and they didn't know. Mm-hmm. It said that she treasured it up in her heart. So that's basically where we are up to now. In that latter one, if you think about it, Jesus was 12, Augie was 6 in my story, he's 11 now, but that latter one is actually more in alignment with the story with Augie. The verses with the 12-year-old Jesus centered around the temple, and they end the same way basically as the first ones. But to give kudos to Mary, after expressing some initial frustration, she said, son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress. After expressing some frustration, not fully, because then Jesus says, didn't you know I'd be in my father's house? I mean, come on, you were looking for me? Of course I'd be here. And it says that she didn't really understand they both did not understand what Jesus had spoken to them. Mary does not appear to have chalked it up, the incident up, to a rebellious kid. That would have been very easy. Kid didn't want to go, stayed, but that's not how she chalked it up. Instead, it says that she treasured up all these things in her heart. She treasured up all these things in her heart. So now the question is, the inspiration for this sermon has to do with Mary, did you know? Do you know that song? Now, this is about what did Mary know? Now, at the time, obviously, it's different if you look at when he was born versus moving on through his life. But that's what we're talking about. And if you think about it, considering the veneration that some in Christendom have for Mary, you might actually be surprised how little the Bible actually mentions her. I can't promise you that I was able to find every occurrence when I did the research for this, but I think I read through the vast majority of them as I did the research, and we're not going to read through them all together, but I want to highlight some interesting ones. Take, for instance, Luke. Let's look at Luke 1, 42 through 45. Luke 1, 42 through 45. What's interesting about this one, it's even before the nativity story. So it's before she pondered up, or treasured up in her heart and pondered. Are we there? Luke 1, 42 through 45. And she, which is Elizabeth, exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is it granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." Now, I'll ask the female types since Augustine and I have not had the opportunity to experience this, if what Elizabeth said to Mary, your cousin had said to you, would you be a bit astonished? Would you? My wife is shaking her head yes. I'm assuming none of you have had this experience, just checking. No? So you'd be a little astonished. You'd be wondering, wouldn't you? The text doesn't say it, but given the other texts, I imagine that Mary treasured up these things, pondering them in her heart. Quite an occasion. And remember, this is before. This is like at ultrasound time, right? This is before. Now, soon after Jesus was born, so now if you look at our verses, we've had three sets of verses. One set is before born, one set is just after born, one is at 12, right? Here's another one that's pretty soon after Jesus was born, 40 days to be exact. Mary, Joseph, and baby Jesus went to Jerusalem because, quote, the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, unquote. If you later read Luke 2:22-35, you can hear about the whole interaction with Simon, who was, quote, righteous and devout, or a righteous and devout man. But let it suffice to say that he said some pretty incredible things about Jesus, including, let's take a look at verses 34 and 35. This is Luke 2:34-35. Are we there? Luke 2:34-35. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed." And then in parentheses, "And a sword will pierce through your own soul also," close parentheses, "so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." Now think about it. 40 days, so a month and a quarter to a month and a half. Isn't that a time when people should be saying something like, "How old is he?" Or, "He's so cute!" Or, "Congratulations!" Mary is being told that her baby, apparently totally defenseless in her arms, is going to cause the, quote, fall and rising of many in Israel. Not only that, but that a, quote, a sword will pierce through, well, it didn't have her, but her own soul also. And just imagine you're that mother, or father, or Joseph with her, and you hear that. Once again, I can imagine that Mary treasured up these things, pondering them in her heart. You? Would you agree? Yeah. And more. What about when the wise men showed up with expensive gifts? We're not going to read it. That's Matthew, well, one time it says, Matthew 2:10-11. When was the last time a star led wise men to your child? Or when Joseph told Mary that an angel came to him and said to flee to Egypt. You can see that in Matthew 2:13-15. Now at that point, the news of angels probably didn't surprise her anymore, but that a ruler wanted to kill her child? Why? Or how about later? So we're still in the young part there. How about later when you're Mary and you go to your son to ask him to do something, probably showing some faith, and he changes water into wine. In all these different situations that involve Mary and Jesus, I imagine, and I would suggest, that Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. Now, Mary seeing and hearing all these things doesn't mean that she never made any mistakes when it came to the perception of her son. Again, some churches venerate her so that you'd think she was also basically sinless and perfect. But I think Scripture indicates we can prove that she didn't always get it right. I mean, we have plenty of other, you could make other arguments about how she's clearly not sinless because the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But here's a case, except for Jesus, right? But here's a case where I think we can prove that she did. Okay. It doesn't specifically call her out, but I'll explain in a moment why I think it does include her. Mark 3, 20 and 21. Mark 3, 20 and 21. Are you there? Mark chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. And he went home, he being Jesus. And he went home, and the crowd gathered again, so that they could not even eat. And when the family heard it, they went out to seize him, for they were saying, what? He's beside himself. Mine says, what does yours say? Love yours says the same as mine. He is out of his mind! He's beside himself. It means the same thing. He is out of his mind. Now, why do I think she was involved in believing that Jesus was nuts? First, it does say family, and you gotta admit, Mary's a pretty important part of the family. Agreed? Additionally, only 10 verses later in Mark, we read this. So Mark 3, 31 through 32. Mark 3, 31 through 32. So, not that far away from that, we read this. And his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. And a crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you. So it does seem like they traveled together. Agreed? And that would make sense. Now, having those words in Scripture so close to my previous quote does not prove Mary was part of the family that thought Jesus was nuts. But it makes thematic sense, especially if there was a chance they were coming to seize him. If you think about it, if they wanted to seize him, you probably don't just do it to brothers. You talk to your mom, your dad, say, hey, there's a problem, we need an intervention. And if she were part of that group, in some respects, can you blame her? What do you think of people who are so busy, so focused that they don't eat? What do you think of those kind of people? Right. It's not usually the sign of a fully healthy mind. And it might warrant that intervention. But if Mary was so perfect, as some claim she was, it doesn't show a whole bunch of faith. I mean, at that point, he's pretty far along in life, and she should trust him. Now, Luke's version of your mother and brothers are outside explains why they waited and sent someone instead of going inside themselves. Take a look at this. Luke 8, 19 through 21. Luke 8, 19 through 21. Luke 8, 19 through 21. Then his mother and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you. But he answered them, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. So who made it so that Jesus couldn't really eat? The crowds, right? I mean, it's easy to look at Jesus and say, dude needs to eat, I can't believe he's not doing it. But the crowds made it difficult. So bad that his family couldn't even get to him. Could you imagine what happened when Jesus' answer got back to them? Hopefully they didn't take things as literally as I see some Christians and politicians with words online, right? That you're Christ mom. I want you to imagine, even us male types, I want you to imagine you're Christ mom. You've watched him grow all his life. You've maybe seen more of him than anyone else. Now he is attracting so many people, he can't get food. So many people that you couldn't even break through a crowd to see your own son. I suspect, again, Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. Agreed? As I mentioned, there aren't a whole bunch of places in Scripture where you see Mary, especially with Jesus. And the next one I'm going to share is a case that no mother would ever want to experience. We turn to the book of John for, well, we actually didn't go there this time, but the first miracle recorded in the Bible is in the book of John. I should back up. First miracle done by Jesus that's recorded appears to be in the book of John. Does anybody remember what it was? Exactly. Wedding of Cana, turning water into wine. Now let's turn to John and see the heart that Jesus had for his mom, okay? What we're going to see right now, it's a horrendous time, but it shows you what kind of heart that Jesus himself had for his mom. John 19, 25 through 27. John chapter 19, 25 through 27. Reset. But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved, who we assume is who? John, exactly. Standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to his disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. I was telling you that this was an experience that no mom or dad, for that matter, would want to experience. No parent should outlive their child. But not only was Mary about to do that, the same woman who first looked into the eyes of the infant Savior now had to look at the badly beaten body of her son nailed to the cross between two thieves. Surely a woman who pondered and treasured her son knew that it was the innocent between the guilty. Surely she knew that. The righteous one, but between the wicked. And anyone, don't let people fool you. People try to discount the resurrection by saying he got off the cross and lived and all that kind of bunk. Any inhabitant of the Roman rule world knew there was only one path off the cross. What was that path? What was the only path off the cross once you were on it? Death. Exactly, you got it. Yet when Jesus was in extreme pain, yet when he knew he was going to be tortured in the worst way possible, and notice, I said worst way possible, when, as in future, he'd already been flogged, right? He'd been on the cross for a period of time. When he knew he was going to be tortured in the worst way possible by being separated from his father because, quote, "For our sake, God made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." That's 2 Corinthians 5:21. Yet, when Jesus had the weight of all sin, our sin, past and present and future, weighing on his shoulders, yet when most of us would be likely focusing up there on the unfairness we were suffering, and probably just wishing that death would come. "Woman, behold your son." And then, "Behold your mother," to John. Yet when Jesus was in the worst place possible, he thought about dear old mom. He's in the worst place possible, about to suffer the worst kind of death ever, separation from his father. He thought about dear old mom. The same man that was on the cross because of his love for us spent part of his final moments thinking about dear old mom. Do you think when she finally went home with John that Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart? Yeah. By limiting verses to ones that were connected with Mary, I haven't really covered the full gamut of what the Son of the Most High did while he was here on earth. We saw his glory in his, or we talked about his glory in his first miracle. But it wasn't the most wonderfully miraculous thing he did. We saw his kindness on the cross and how he watched out for dear old mom. But one could argue he did even kinder things. For instance, in another sermon, The Hand of God, I noted the type of hand that Jesus had for us. He touched a leper to make him clean. When the sick were brought to him, he laid hands on every one of them and healed them. He touched Peter's mom's hand, and her fever left. He took the ruler's terminal daughter's hand, and she arose. He grabbed Peter so he wouldn't drown when his faith wavered. He welcomed and laid hands on the children that his disciples tried to shoo away. He gave sight to the blind man by touching his eyes twice. He even did it using spitty mud. He lifted up the demon-possessed boy after exorcising the spirit out of him. He laid hands on the woman who could not stand up for 18 years, and immediately she was made straight. He touched the ear of one of the men who came to arrest him in the garden, came to arrest him to kill him in the garden, and it was no longer cut off. And even after he returned to his glory in heaven, even after he returned to his glory in heaven, he laid his right hand on John after John fell at his feet, though dead, and told John not to fear. So even in his full glory, when his disciple was overcome, what did he do? He touched him and told him not to fear. The only clean human ever to grace this planet, touched the untouchable. Like if you go through that list, would a normal Jew touch a leper? No, why not, Cisco? It's a contagious disease. Well, they didn't understand contagions like we do, but what were lepers supposed to cry when they came nearby? Unclean, unclean, right? Touching the leper, he becomes unclean. And Jews didn't want to become unclean. He is the only clean human to ever grace this planet, and he touched the untouchable. He showed kindness to every kind of person, even though he knew mankind wasn't going to return the kindness and that he would end up on a cross. And as incredible as all that is, it's still just a small view of the amazingly miraculous and amazingly kind things that our Lord did. How do you react to that? Are they a bunch of cool stories, but you don't believe them? Do you just feel, man, when is the sermon going to end? Do you wish we could move on to other stuff? Like, when does the football game start today? It's a Sunday. There's got to be a football game. There you go. Or when you see Jesus, in the Spirit, you know, going through what the Holy Spirit inspired scriptures, or you hear someone like me talk about what he did, or you read other stories, biblical stories, please. When you read other stories, when you see Jesus, do you treasure up all these things, pondering them in your heart? Do you treasure all these things in your heart? Fear not, little flock, For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give them to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. Now, I didn't share the story about Augie because he did some big, incredible thing. He didn't win some prize like a lot of kids at 6 years old actually do. He didn't compose his first piece of music like Mozart did when he was, how old do you think Mozart was when he did his first piece of music? Not quite, almost. He's five. Five, yeah. Oh, I thought, see, I saw that one. I didn't see the other one. Five. Augie didn't do anything except show kindness to a kid he didn't know. You might say the reason I pondered and treasured it up in my heart was because it was so Christ-like. Nothing to gain, only something to give, leading by example. Showing love to someone who didn't earn it or deserve it. For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart, the good treasure of his heart, produces good, and the evil people out of the evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. When you hear what Jesus did, do you treasure up these things, pondering them in your heart? If not, I'll pray for you. There's something wrong with your heart if you don't. Something wrong with your treasure. Would you agree? It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. But if you don't ponder and treasure up what Jesus did, your treasure is in the wrong place. If you do treasure up all these things, pondering them in your heart, what do you ponder and treasure most? The powerful miracles or the loving kindness? Jesus' glory and power or Jesus' glory in love? I think the better answer is the latter. It doesn't diminish the former, but isn't that really the kindness and the love? Look at the baby in the manger. Do they have a nativity here? Look at the baby in the manger. Look at the hand that touched the untouchables in between. And then look at the man who hung on the cross for you. And then how about you and me? You and I ponder it all with Mary.